RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headline. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs will attend the Bali Process Business Forum in Australia. ASEAN International Conference as a form of evaluation of ASEAN's contribution. Minister of Foreign Affairs officially unveils Diaspora Card at the 72nd anniversary of the Foreign Affairs Ministry. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi will visit Perth, Australia to attend the Bali Process Government and Business Forum on August 24th and 25th, 2017, related to the issue of smuggling and human trafficking. Indonesia says that cooperation between countries of origin destination countries and transit countries become important. In 2002, Indonesia and Australia took the initiative to form Bali Process, Director of International Security and Disarmament of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Grata Enda Werdaningtyas explained that the Bali Process Government and Business Forum aim to enhance closer cooperation between the private and the government sectors. In the press briefing, which was held on Monday, August 21st, she said, through the forum, the leaders in the private sector are expected to develop agenda and work program voluntarily and independently.
Ini adalah kata kunci yang harus kita pegang, yaitu mereka mengembangkan sendiri rencana kerja yang independen dan sukarela.
This is the key word we must hold on. They must develop their own independent and voluntary work program for one overcoming human trafficking, slave labor, and modern slavery in its business process. Secondly, encourages ethical and humane business practices on the business supply and develops employment opportunities, including migrant workers, through safe and legal channels. The last is to create a synergy of cooperation with the government in the prevention and mitigation of human trafficking, including the protection of war victims. Grata further explained there are two results expected to produce on the business forum, namely Perth Work Plan and Co-Chair Statement. Perth Work Plan contains initiative from business leaders, namely recruitment, ethics, transparency of business, dumping, and creating incentive for business engagement in combating human trafficking. The ASEAN International Conference, which is held on August 22nd to 23rd at the Brawijaya University, Malang, East Java, is one of the evaluation of contribution of ASEAN to society in its 50th anniversary. This was conveyed by Chief Executive Officer of the 50th ASEAN Anniversary, Faculty of Social and Political Sciences, Brawijaya University, Yusli Effendi, to Voice of Indonesia in Malang, Tuesday, August 22nd.
Dan kita ingin melihat seberapa jauh ASEAN, utamanya ini, berkontribusi pada masyarakat.
We want to see how far the ASEAN contributed to society, because so far there is a research which indicating ASEAN is to at least brings issues about the place only take care of the country, not caring to the grassroots. Well, at the age of 50, ASEAN declare itself as a people-centered organization, people-oriented and people's community, the community that prioritize the public interest. Well, this is a conference which discuss about academic and societies, think tanks and scientists. We can exchange information about the development progress or suggestion for ASEAN. Furthermore, Yusli Effendi said the ASEAN International Conference is participated in by approximately 400 participants consisting of various academicians and practitioners. Then 50 people from all participants will present their papers on the problems and challenges that exist in ASEAN during this time. Coinciding with the 72nd anniversary of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Monday, 21st of August, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi officially launched the Diaspora Card. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, on the sidelines of the 72nd anniversary celebration in Jakarta on Monday, said that by having the card, the diasporas can obtain various facilities from relevant ministers and institutions. The use of diaspora card is to provide facilitation to Indonesian diaspora, both Indonesian citizen as well as foreign national who used to be Indonesian citizen, and also to other criterias. So the facilities are not provided equally, but in accordance with the criterias contained in the provision. Minister Retno Marsudi further said the existence of diaspora card is an input from the diaspora who previously met with President Joko Widodo. This is a program since the president firstly took office and after listened directly various inputs from diaspora. When the president went abroad, through the launching of the diaspora card, it shows that the government recognized the existence of diaspora as part of the Indonesian nation. At the moment of the 72nd anniversary of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi stated many achievements have been reached, such as Indonesia play an active role in maintaining world peace to maintain the unity and centrality of ASEAN. Minister Retno Marsudi further added, various target improvements in the internal ministry are also implemented, such as purchasing at least 10 buildings each year, to be used as the Indonesian embassies and the consulate general offices in the representative countries. Related to the Indonesian reverse flag printed in the SEA Games guidebook, Foreign Ministry spokesman Arman Antanasir said Indonesia was disappointed and regretted the incident. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi has expressed her disappointment and has sent a diplomatic note to the Malaysian government. In a press briefing which was held on Monday, August 21st, Armananta Nasir explained the Malaysian government issued an apology through an official letter and will correct their mistake. In addition to Indonesia, there are flags of other countries also experiencing errors. Armananta Nasir said the Malaysian government responded quickly toward the incident.
Kita tahu bahwa bagaimana kemudian mereka mengeluarkan pernyataan permintaan maaf secara resmi.
We see how quickly they issued apology officially. It is not easy that all countries can do it. Once the foreign minister contacts the Malaysian foreign minister, once we send a note, within days, they immediately issue the apology statement on behalf of their government. Armananta Nasir further explained, since knowing the reverse printing case of Indonesian flag, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi directly phoned the Malaysian Foreign Minister. Malaysian Foreign Minister Datuk Sri Anifah Haji Aman convey her apologies over the reverse red and white flag symbol in the SEA Games guidebooks 2017. Previously, apologies have also been submitted directly by Minister of Youth and Sport of Malaysia, Khairi Jamaluddin, to Minister of Youth and Sport of Indonesia, Imam Nahrawi, when they met recently. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Secretary General of the Communist Party of Vietnam, Nguyen Phu Thong, visit Indonesia on August 22nd and 23rd, 2017, and met President Joko Widodo. Director General of Asia Pacific and Africa, Desra Percaya, explained at the Foreign Affairs Ministry's office, Jakarta, Monday, August 21, 2017, that the visit of Nguyen Phu Thong will be accompanied by related ministers and businessmen. In addition to holding bilateral meetings with the Indonesian President, the Secretary of the Communist Party of Vietnam, or PKV, is also scheduled to meet with the leadership of the People's Consultative Assembly, the House of Representatives, and the Regional Representative Council, and will attend the business and academic forums. Desra explained that Nguyen Phu Thong's visit is to increase cooperation in maritime, fishery, trade, investment, and also related to the regional issues. According to Desra, this visit becomes very important.
Vietnam saat ini menjabat sebagai ketua APEC dan akan menyelenggarakan APEC Economic Leaders Summit.
Vietnam currently serves as chair of APEC and will host APEC Economic Leaders Summit on 11 and 12 of November 2017 in Vietnam. In this regard, Vietnam invited Mr. Joko Widodo and very much expected his presence. APEC's agenda, driven by Indonesia, is a roadmap of rural development and poverty alleviation. Therefore, Indonesia will always push the policies generated in APEC, especially the pro-people trade policy, so that it can reduce trade barriers. Desra Percaya further explained Vietnam is a country in Southeast Asia that has high economic growth. In 2016, Vietnam's economic growth reached 6%, with trade numbers reaching $6.2 billion. Indonesia invests in Vietnam, especially in the property, medicine, food, and chemical sectors. In addition, the two countries has negotiated the boundaries of the Exclusive Economic Zone, or EEZ, even though there has been no progress. Finance Ministry Sri Mulyani said that the government is aiming for 6.3% investment growth in a bid to achieve economic growth target of 5.4% set in the draft 2018 state budget, or RAPBN. According to Sri, bank loan growth will be highly affected by the optimism of the business world. If businesses set high growth targets, they will apply for bank loans for working capital or investment. In addition, loan growth will also be shaped by bank capacity, particularly its balance sheet. Sri expect capital market investment to increase in order to help achieve investment growth target. Aside from investment, economic growth for next year will be boosted by an increase in household consumption, set at 5.1%, and government consumption, which is expected to grow by 3.8%. And the last item, Indonesian wushu athlete Linswell Kwok contributed another gold medal from the sport in the women's Taijijan, or Taiji Straight Sword, category following the success of compatriot Felda Evira Santoso in the morning in the 2017 SEA Games. Linswell, who won 2 gold medals for Indonesia in the 2015 SEA Games in Myanmar, emerged as the top finisher after scoring 9.68 points. edging out the host countries, Yi Zhou Audrey Chen, who finished second with 9.64 points. Yi performed first with strong backing from the Malaysian fans packing the venue at the Kuala Lumpur Convention Center. However, Lin Swell showed no signs of intimidation in an all-out performance that convinced the jurors and elicited cheers from dozens of Indonesian supporters and some foreign spectators. Indonesia aims to bring home at least 3 gold medals from Wushu during the SEA Games, which run until the end of this week. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs will attend the Bali Process Business Forum in Australia. ASEAN International Conference as the forum of evaluation of ASEAN contribution. Minister of Foreign Affairs officially unveils Diaspora Card at the 72nd anniversary of the Foreign Affairs Ministry. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today entitling Indonesia and Country with Different Ideology. Actually, there are no region and ideology boundaries in the life of the nation and the state. According to Aristotle, man is a social creature. And when examined more broadly on a macro scale, a country as a perpetrator in international relation has the same characteristic with humans in general. Men need socializing, making friends, and mingled with others. What became the problem is probably when Indonesia as a nation with Pancasila ideology must mingle and befriend with country with communism ideology. While it seems that the word communist will only open Indonesia's black memory in history. For example, G30's PKI's tragedy in 1966, when some army generals were killed and put into a hole. The tragedy then made communism forbidden in this country. Should Indonesia stay away from a communist country and only associate with a democratic liberal state? On the other hand, how many more in the world are countries that still really adhere to communism? Even the country of origin, the Soviets, that have now become Russia, the ideology has faded away. Likewise, China, although still calling itself communist, its actions have been very much capitalist that once supposedly became its enemy. The world's politics map has changed greatly compared to the Cold War era decades ago. In the context of interstate cooperation, consideration of a relationship is more about how each country can gain mutual benefits, rather than ideologically interdependent. Currently, the Secretary General of the Communist Party of Vietnam, Nguyen Phu Trong, is visiting Indonesia and is welcomed formally by the government of Indonesia. In 2013, President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono received visits from a delegation of Chinese Communist Party secretaries. Perhaps there are still people who question the openness of Indonesia to a country with communism ideology, whether due to a trauma or lack of observation of international political development. But as a country with good manners, Indonesia is obliged to welcome the goodwill of the visit as normal in the world's association. Indonesia, with its free and active foreign politics, are free to associate with any country and actively maintain the world's peace. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with August 22, 1945, Indonesia's People's Security Forces is formed. The People's Security Forces, or BKR, is the first armed forces established after Indonesia's independence. The establishment of the BKR was conducted through the PPKI session on August 22, 1945, and announced by President Sukarno on August 23, the same year. Members of the BKR at that time were young Indonesians who had previously received military education as Heiho soldiers, defenders of the homeland or PETA, KNIL, and others. Appointed as BKR commander was Aruji Kartawinata. Through the presidential decree on October 5, 1955, BKR was changed to the People's Security Army. In its development, the name of the Indonesian Armed Forces experienced several times name changing until finally it became the Indonesian National Military. Turning to August 22, 1945, PPKI held the final hearing and also marked the end of its duty. The Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, or PPKI, is a committee charged with preparing for Indonesian independence. PPKI was established on August 7, 1945, with Sukarno as the chairman. The PPKI, which consists of 21 members, is an agency formed before the People's Consultative Assembly. The first session was held on August 18 and successfully passed the 1945 Constitution, elected and appointed the President and Vice President. The first task of the President was temporarily assisted by the Central Indonesian National Committee. The second session of the PPKI, held on August 19, 1945, succeeded in forming 12 ministries and 4 state ministers. The third session took place on August 22 and established the National Committee of Indonesia, the Indonesian National Party, and the People's Security Forces. On August 22, 1945, the task of PPKI was completed, but it was only dissolved on August 29, 1945, simultaneously with the inauguration of members of the Central Indonesian National Committee. The last item in Today in History is the crash of Pulkova Airlines Flight 612 on August 22, 2006. Pulkova Airlines Flight 612 is a flight from Anapa to St. Petersburg. The accident occurred in eastern Ukraine near the Russian border. This accident killed all 160 passengers and 10 crew. The accident occurred at 15:37 Moscow time in the direction of 45 kilometers from the city of Donetsk. The plane was on its way until it finally fell. Apart from Russia and Ukraine, there were also recorded passengers from the Netherlands, Germany, France, and Finland. And that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this day in the past.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi will visit Perth, Australia to attend the Bali Process Government and Business Forum on August 24 and 25, 2017. The ASEAN International Conference, which is held on August 22 to 23 at the Brawijaya University, Malang, East Java, is one of the evaluation of contribution of ASEAN to society in its 50th anniversary. Coinciding with the 72nd anniversary of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Monday, 21st of August, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi officially launched the Diaspora Card, related to the Indonesian reverse flag printed in the SEA Games guidebook. Foreign Ministry spokesman Armananta Nasir said Indonesia was disappointed and regretted the incident. Secretary General of the Communist Party of Vietnam Nguyen Phu Trong visited Indonesia on 22nd and 23rd of August 2017 and met President Joko Widodo. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that the government aiming for 6.3% investment growth in a bid to achieve the economic growth target of 5.4% set in the draft 2018 State Budget or RAPBN. And the last item, Indonesian wushu athlete Lin Swell Kwok contributed another gold medal from the sport in the women's Taijin or Taiji Straight Sword category following the success of compatriot Felda Evira Santoso in the morning in the 2017 SEA Games. And that was the news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, we will take you to culinary tour to Bangka Belitung province. Stay tuned. Listener, Muntok is a sub-district as well as the capital of West Bangka Regency. Muntok City has been listed as one of the Kota Pusaka or Heritage City in Indonesia. The city is dominated by pristine old buildings of Dutch colonial relics, distinctive and beautiful Malay-stage houses, and Chinese nuanced buildings. In addition to be known as a historical city, Muntok is also called as the city of thousand cakes. There are pelite cake, bluder, gomak, lemper, and jongkong. In this segment, we will introduce you to one of the unique Muntok cakes, namely the pelite cake. The color of pelite cake is white and wrapped with pandan leaves. Some people call it kue pelite daun because if the banana or pandan leaves of this cake was opened, then the bottom of the cake will look like a light axis. Some others call it sampan cake because it looks like a cannon. This pelite cake was processed from rice flour, coconut milk, and white sugar, as well as container of pandan or banana leaves. To make it, all of the ingredients are processed until it becomes dough, then steamed in a container of pandan or banana leaves. After cooked, the fragrant smell of banana or pandan leaves immediately smelt. When we eat it, the texture of the cake is so soft and has sweet taste. Usually Muntok people eat pelite cake in the morning and afternoon with a cup of tea or coffee. It's easy to find this cake in Muntok. The pelite cake sold on a relatively cheap price ranging from 1,500 rupiah each. When you are in Muntok and want to enjoy this culinary, make sure to start to hunt the cake in the morning before sold out. Listener,
in fact, this little cake became Bung Karno's favorite cake when the first president of the Republic of Indonesia with Muhammad Hatta, Haji Agus Salim, and Muhammad Rum was exiled to Bangka Island, precisely in Montauk, West Bangka, in 1949. At the time, the Indonesian struggle upheaval of post-independence was still rolling in the middle of exile. This sweet tasty cake was Bung Karno's snack, which was served every morning or with a cup of tea or coffee in the afternoon. When the late President Sukarno invited the Montauk people to stroll to the Tanjung Kalyan beach, the cake must be brought. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic of Pelita Cake. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. See you then. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Warren Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development and Development Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Pompa Air Saya Rusak, or in English, My Water Pump Broke Down. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Pompa air, water pump. Rusak, rusak, doesn't work or broken. Memakai, memakai, to use. Kamar mandi, bathroom. Rumah, rumah, home or house. Air, air, water. Tidak ada, tidak ada, there's no something. Nomor telepon, nomor telepon, telephone number. Tukang air, plumber. Langganan, langganan, regular. Periksa, periksa, to check. Pipa air, pipa air, water pipe. Bocor, bocor, to leak. Pagi-pagi, pagi-pagi, in the morning. Merepotkan, merepotkan, to bother. Tidak apa-apa, tidak apa-apa, no problem. Next is a conversation on pompa air saya rusak, or in English, my water pump broke down. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Rita at Rita's. Rita, bolehkah saya memakai kamar mandi kamu? Saya mau mandi. Rita, bolehkah saya memakai kamar mandi kamu? Saya mau mandi. In English, Rita, can I use your bathroom? I want to take a bath. Tentu saja, ada apa dengan kamar mandi kamu? Tentu saja, ada apa dengan kamar mandi kamu? Of course, what's wrong with your bathroom? Di rumah saya tidak ada air. Di rumah saya tidak ada air. In English, there's no water at my home. Pompa air saya mati. Pompa air saya mati. My water pump doesn't work. Apakah kamu punya nomor telepon tukang air? Apakah kamu punya nomor telepon tukang air? Do you have the number of a plumber? Saya punya langganan tukang pompa air. Saya punya langganan tukang pompa air. I have a regular plumber. Nanti saya suruh dia periksa pompa air kamu. Nanti saya suruh dia periksa pompa air kamu. I'll tell him to check your water pump. Mungkin pipa airnya bocor. Mungkin pipa airnya bocor. Maybe the pipe is leaking. Atau pompa air kamu rusak. Atau pompa air kamu rusak. Or your water pump has broken down. Terima kasih. Maaf pagi-pagi merepotkan kamu. Terima kasih. Maaf pagi-pagi merepotkan kamu. Thank you. Sorry to bother you in the morning. Tidak apa-apa. Tidak apa-apa. No problem. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner, the regular segment which introduces you to Indonesian music. In today's edition, we will provide some dangdut songs for you. Stay tuned. Kamu, 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 kamu keterlalu. Kalau ketemu maunya dimanja. Aduh, 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 aduh kacau jadinya. Membuat diriku semakin cinta. Kemesraan membuat diriku bahagia.
August 1, 2017, the Dangdut singer Ayu Ting Ting released her latest album. The singer, whose full name is Ayu Rosmalia, launched the album entitled Kamu, Kamu, Kamu. According to her, among all of her albums, the newest album becomes the most appropriate one with her energetic and cheerful personality. The energetic and cheerfulness of Ayu Ting Ting can be clearly heard on the song which entitled the same as her album Kamu, Kamu, Kamu. The song is the one you've just listened at the beginning of Music Corner. The song, which was composed by Fauzi Bima, has a touch of koplo music combined with remix and a bit of dance music. The song Kamu, Kamu, Kamu tells about someone who is falling in love. Besides the song Kamu, 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 there are 9 other songs on the album. 5 of 10 songs are new songs entitled Mikirin Kamu, Johnny Kimpul, Bulan di Dalam Kolam, Micin or Mikirin Cinta, and Yuk Puasa. Now let's listen to one of the 5 newest songs of Ayu Ting Ting, Bulan di Dalam Kolam. Happy listening. Listener, just a few weeks later after the release of music video of Ayu Ting Ting entitled Kamu, Kamu, Kamu on YouTube, it has already gained millions of viewers watching the music video. Ayu Ting Ting feels proud and grateful to dangdut music lovers in Indonesia who have appreciated the song. After she successfully launching the song, Ayu released another song, Bulan di Dalam Kolam, on YouTube on August 10, 2017. The song you've just listened to was created by Dadan Indriana. Bulan di Dalam Kolam tells about the story of the feeling of someone who is separated from the one she loves. According to Ayu Ting Ting, compared to other songs on this new album, singing Bulan di Dalam Kolam is somewhat difficult because of the slow tempo. It took her several hours to sing it. This is the end of today's edition of Music Corner. Let's listen to the last two dangdut songs of Ayu Ting Ting, taken from her latest album entitled Micin or Mikirin Cinta and Johnny Kimpul. See you, happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Cintamu padaku, cinta, 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 cintamu palsu. Kamu, 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 kamu muka seribu. Cinmi, 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 kirim cintamu. Cinmi, 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 cin, cintamu padaku. Cinta, 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 cintamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
kapan bertemu. Kau bagai udara yang ku hirup di setiap masa. Engkau nadara
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.